Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Well, photographer Tyler Hicks was recently in Libya. Perhaps you've heard. Tyler is normally the one covering stories in war zones. He was with us in December talking about six American soldiers killed by a roadside bomb in Afghanistan. But today, he is the story. Tyler, photographer Lindsay Addario, and reporters Stephen Farrell and Anthony Shadid, all of the New York Times, were captured by forces loyal to Muammar Gaddafi while covering Libya on March 14th. They were held for 6 days. And Tyler now joins us from New York. We understand, Tyler, unfortunately, all four of you had some experience with this kind of thing. You'd been captured before?
The second time that the Russian military took over Grozny, I had been working in Grozny and had left for security reasons. And when I tried to re-enter, was caught by the Russian military. And that was a situation where I was held in a tent out in the woods in Chechnya, actually, for 3 days. But it was really nothing in comparison to what I've experienced more recently in Libya.
Well, let's remind people what happened. We're familiar with some parts of the story. You, your fellow reporters, and your translator drove into a roadblock set up by Libyan forces. They pulled you all out of the car. Then the Libyan soldiers came under fire from rebels. You were all caught in that crossfire, as you said. Your fellow journalists credit you with having the presence of mind to turn and run for cover. But what's happening in your head and your heart, especially as it sounds as if you all kind of saw this coming, but quit like a slow motion thing, you couldn't stop it.
That's right. You always imagine if something like this were to happen, how you would react and what you'd do. Really, all those things, most of them get thrown out the window. I mean, it happens so quickly. The moment we saw that checkpoint, the moment that we saw that there were soldiers on the road, still not knowing whether they were opposition fighters or Gaddafi soldiers, it was too late. But there was no turning around. You're really stuck. Everything that you may have thought you would do kind of gets thrown out the window.
Right. It's a sickening, stomach-turning feeling. And as you said, you go off 6 days of captivity and just horrendous, the only female in the group. Lindsay Addario has talked, including this morning on NPR, about being groped by every man who came by her. And you're all tied up, and you not only can you not help yourselves, you can't help her.
That was really very frustrating. We were bound very tightly. This is most of the time with heavy-duty zip ties. Our hands were bound behind our backs to the point of completely losing circulation in your hands. At one point, our feet were also bound, and most of the time we were also blindfolded. Our only way to communicate was by trying to speak to each other, and most of the time we weren't allowed to speak either. And we would just, the main comfort that we would get is just to take accountability of who was there, just always say, is everyone here? Yes, yes, yes. And then that would be it. That's all we had to say. As long as we knew we were together, there was at least some comfort there.
Yeah. Well, it just, again, it's like stomach turning in that way. We've heard from other journalists who've been captured. David Rode comes to mind, where nothing's happening except people are saying things, and that's almost the worst part. Your captors threaten to kill you. A man, the soldiers called the Sheikh, threatened to cut off your head, saying, you know, you have a beautiful head. I'm going to remove it and put it on mine. I can't imagine how that's being received.
There's a lot of intimidation and a lot of hitting, and of course we were especially worried about Lindsay. And to me, it was surprising, you know, kind of how quickly you can really be worn down with the first 3 days of this, just without any sleep, being passed from one group to the next, being thrown in from one truck to another truck, and being slapped around, and all this without eating. All any of us ate over 3 days was maybe a little handful of rice and a few dates. So by the time we reached Tripoli, we really were kind of delivered into this room, and people finally were kind of saying that we weren't going to be abused anymore. And I think that we'd all really reached a point where we didn't trust or believe anything they were saying at that point.
Well, but the abuse did let up. In fact, there were the only books in the room were Shakespeare. We read that, and so you're all catching up on your Shakespeare. And yet I'm wondering, you met people who were horrific. You met people who were, you know, close to kind to you. What sense do you take away of who these people, who were these people?
What I take away from it, it's a very fragmented society where you have a lot, there's not a lot of authority between one group and the next. There's a regular Libyan army. There are the guys that picked us up who are more of a militia army. And this became apparent when they flew us on a plane. We were actually tied with rope onto the webbing of a military aircraft barefoot. And we were led out onto the tarmac of the airfield in Tripoli. And in that moment, there was a fight that we could hear happening over who was going to get us. There were clearly two groups there. This really made us realize how fragmented and disorganized they really were.
Well, and we're well aware of how anyone can be cruel in a war zone. Of course, you have the images from Abu Ghraib, and American soldiers treating their prisoners in, sounds like, some of the same ways you were treated. But I guess the question is, how do you see these people being integrated back into a society together with the people who are in the opposition?
Well, that's a good question. And unlike Egypt, where they had a backup plan, really, I mean, I asked myself, what happens if Gaddafi is killed or leaves? I can only imagine the state of Libya in that case. It's hard to believe. And
meaning what? Who directs these people who were some of your detainers?
Takes over?
Yeah.
Who's going to establish any amount of authority? I mean, obviously the way it's being conducted now is completely unacceptable. But to me, from everything that I've experienced there and what I've seen on the ground, it's really going to be interesting. And I mean, hopefully we'll see this end at some point. But it looks like this is going to go on for some time.
Well, we know that all four of you, can't really rejoice because your interpreter and driver, Mohammed, is still missing. And I know that casts a cloud over everything. But is there sort of is there more color in the sky? Is there, how does it work when you come out of something like that?
Right now, there really isn't. I had employed somebody who was working voluntarily, and this is somebody who, that was their job, and they understood that there were risks involved, but at the same time, that there's no way around feeling you are the reason that that person is in that situation. And we have people on the ground now, staff from the New York Times, whose primary mission is to find out what exactly happened. They're working on that, and the whole paper is really behind it, in the same way they've been behind us throughout our ordeal. But I think until we know what happened, and I really haven't been able to really relax since I've been back.
Tyler Hicks, photographer for the New York Times. Tyler, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.